97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in on a Friday. This is a big hour here. We got lots going on. At the bottom of this hour, we are going to hear the jobs reports. That is the key statistic that we're waiting to hear that would probably determine whether or not the Fed cuts the rates. If the number is bad, then they're like more likely to cut the rate. It might hurt the economy a little bit to hear those numbers, but it might mean that interest rates are coming down. So that is supposed to happen at roughly 7:30 Central Time. So when we get those numbers in here, we will let you know what they say. The Fed doesn't meet until later this week or this month. I think another week or two, so maybe 2 weeks. We get that in, we will we'll let you know here in just a minute. The big story this morning is what Channel 4 was reporting on last night. Carl, go to cut 15, please.
Tonight, a Missouri judge just ruling here in the last few minutes. The proposed abortion rights amendment must be changed for the November ballot. A group sued the state saying it was written unfair. The judge agrees, and the next step is to rewrite how that amendment will look on your ballot.
Yep. And now I guess it is the judge who gets to decide that wording. And we have Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft on the phone right now. And Mr. Secretary, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for having me. It's so important that the people know what they're actually voting on. And the courts are really just misleading the people as to what they'll be voting on.
Yeah, well, I think so. I don't know how you can. I mean, the way this is going to be worded now, people are going to think that if they don't pass this, that they can't get contraception. And none of that has changed with the ban on abortion in Missouri.
That is true. And if you just look at what's talked about, you know, for one thing is, this amendment says nothing about men or women. It never uses the word woman. It applies to all Missourians. But the judge in this case put in the word woman. So it's unfortunate that was done. In other states, we've seen that this has been applied to both males and females. It's been used not just beyond what we can understand as for abortion, but for transgender things. And in the actual order or opinion, the judgment final from the court, they say that the language is inaccurate because it says that an individual that performs an abortion can't be punished in any way. They say, yes, they can, but the actual amendment says, nor shall any person assisting a person in assessment, sorry, let me pull it up, nor shall any person assisting a person in exercising the right to reproductive freedom with that person's consent, be penalized, prosecuted, or otherwise subjected to adverse action for doing so. It says right there in the amendment that they can't be affected or penalized for doing it. And yet the court just says, well, it says that, but we're going to ignore that.
Is there any hope moving forward at this point, or has that ship sailed since we're getting so close to the election that this is going to be the language that people see on their ballots?
You know, I told our attorneys that we wanted to appeal this to go to the Western District Court of Appeals on this. But if you'll remember, the Western District Court of Appeals really just ignored the language of the amendment when we were fighting over the ballot title.
Yes.
So I don't have a lot of hope. This is what happens when you have a politicalized system for selecting judges, where you have the Missouri court plan or the Missouri plan. That's very politicalized, and you don't have judges that actually follow the law. You have judges that do what they want to say and, frankly, say things that are inaccurate.
Yeah, this was Cole County Judge Cotton Walker who decided to rewrite the ballot language and said that the language you had picked was not fair. Completely agreed with the Planned Parenthood folks, I would imagine, are the ones who brought this this challenge, right?
Yeah, and he said it was inaccurate. You know, another example was, in our language, we said it would enshrine the right to abortion at any point in the pregnancy. And he said, no, that's not true. The General Assembly can enact laws to stop it at certain points of the pregnancy. But if you look at the actual language of what the people will be voting on, it says, under no circumstances shall the government deny, interfere with, delay, or otherwise restrict an abortion that in the good faith judgment of a treating healthcare professional is needed to protect the life or physical or mental health of the pregnant person.
Yeah.
So right there, it can happen at any time.
Right. And it's so subjective. Like they mentioned the whole mental health thing. Okay, well, couldn't a doctor just say, you know what, I think this is hurting your mental health. I know you're 9 months pregnant, but this is important. And boom, you're going to get an abortion.
Yeah, it is. I understand that people have differences of agreement on this issue. Clearly, I'm not in favor of the amendment. But the people of the state should know the truth about what they're voting on. And our court system is getting in the way of the people knowing the truth. That's wrong. It's a real problem, and we've got to hold judges accountable.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, Mr. Secretary, we're talking to Jay Ashcroft, if your thoughts just for a moment on the influence of outside money on Missouri politics, because I was looking at the Missouri Ethics Commission's reports this morning, and I mean, it's pretty glaring. This Missourians for Constitutional Freedom, hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations are flowing in from California and Pennsylvania and Virginia to try to fight in favor of this amendment. I just don't think most Missourians are aware of the outside influence of money that's pouring into Missouri politics right now.
I think you're right. And I think that what we're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg. If you look at what happened in Ohio, it was not only there tens of millions of dollars that came in from outside of Ohio, but a large portion, a substantial portion of that money came from outside of the United States from non-U.S. citizens. That's wrong. It's inappropriate. And we need to get a handle on that.
I mean, what could we do? Because that does seem ridiculous that so much money is pouring in from people, not even just in different states, but you're saying around the world.
Well, I think we should be able to ban money from non-U.S. citizens coming in to these races and coming in on these elections. There was a federal court case just maybe a week ago, where a federal judge outlawed such a ban and said that non-citizens had a constitutional right to participate in U.S. elections, which is atrocious, and we need to overturn that federal decision.
Yeah, well, let's hope somebody's paying attention. Somebody called in earlier and said, where are all of the well-to-do conservatives in the state of Missouri? Why aren't they stepping up to the plate and donating some money, maybe to Missouri Right to Life, to try to fight this thing more? I don't see those donations coming in.
You know, there are some people that are doing it, but there is a massive fiscal advantage. And there always will be on this sort of thing, because there's money to be made in selling baby parts. There's money to be made in transgender or, you know, medical or surgical mutilation of children that think they can be a different gender. And we need people to stand up. I mean, where are all the elected officials that ran as pro-life, that have been elected as pro-life individuals, and why are they silent on this?
Boy, great question. Jay Ashcroft, we appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft there with more on this judge's ruling. Like he said, they'll try to appeal it, but the higher the court there, the Western Appeals Court in the Western District, has ignored their last request for an appeal, arguing over the title of the ballot issue. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed. And if you know any really rich conservatives out there, call them up and ask them why they're not putting their money where their mouth is on this. That's my question. Coming up, Jim Carafano from Heritage. Get his thoughts, on the president's speech the other night and what's going on in Israel right now. We'll be right back.
We will ensure that the United States has a giant steel industry, an aluminum industry, a manufacturing base, and a defense base. We want a industrial base that can take care of our defense needs 100%. And you can call it what you want. Some might say it's economic nationalism. I call it common sense. I call it America first. This is the policy that built this country, and this is the policy that will save our country.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
All right, Jim Carafano joining us this morning from the Heritage Foundation. Jim, how are you, my friend?
I am. Well, listen, I'm actually on the Aegean Sea in Thessaloniki, which is a port in northern Greece. And so you know what? Not a bad day today.
I would say not. Wow. You're in a better place, I would say.
It's actually really beautiful. I'm only here for a day, which is sad. but it's really beautiful.
Wow. Well, thank you for giving us some time this morning. I do appreciate, of course, it's not morning to you, but I appreciate you giving us a little bit of time.
No, I'm happy to do it. I mean, if I can't be in Greece, I'd rather be in St. Louis.
Yeah, says everybody all the time.
Says that.
Greece and then St. Louis. Yeah. I can see the comparison there. Yep.
You know,
yeah,
I played that bite from Trump last night because he was talking about saving the U.S. steel industry. And when he was president, he was very specific about trying to save the U.S. steel industry because we were down to the last steel plant in the country that could manufacture the kind of steel you need to build warships and tanks and stuff like that. And you know, this is a key for us moving forward. And what do you do under a Harris administration? You don't save those things.
Well, this is what's really important, like, is to understand not what he's calling for, but how we got here. It's not because America can't build warships or have steel plants or have high-end manufacturing or deliver these things. We can do all those things. It is an excessive regulatory environment, stupid policies where, like, you don't even buy what the defense industry, what the defense military needs, skyrocketing energy prices. Those are the things that Donald Trump is going to fix. And then Americans will be able to build that stuff. So it's not about protectionism. Protectionism is when, you know, you have to create a market artificially by not letting people, you know, sell stuff in your country.
Right.
We have self-limited ourselves in our ability to grow and produce. And Trump policies are basically saying, let's stop doing that. Let's let the American economy be the American economy. And then we will dwarf the Chinese in productivity.
I mean, speaking of fixing things, we obviously need to fix our border because I just saw that ICE confirmed that the gang members from Venezuela that were going around that apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado, had been released by the Biden administration. And somehow Kamala Harris wants to say, oh, no, I had nothing to do with that. I'm going to fix the border.
Yeah, you know, the border is like a Chinese menu. You know, you go to a Chinese menu, you get anything you want. You want pork, you want beef, you want vegetables, you want fried, you want sushi. I don't know if you can get sushi on a Chinese menu, but the point is...
It might be questionable, to be honest.
The border problem is, what are you worried about? Pick an item for the menu. Are you worried about terrorism? You worried about the economic costs? Are you worried about crime? Because it literally is all there. And here you literally have a town, a part of a town, taken over by a Venezuelan gang, which did not exist in the United States 3 years ago. How could you not say this is a massive problem that's completely out of control? And how can the people, not who, like, fail to deal with the problem, though, it's not like, oh, we tried, you know, the last 4 years. They created the problem in the last 4 years. And then say, well, we're the ones that are going to fix this for you. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of how they always position these things. I know it's I don't know how we get out of that. So what is your take real quick on what's going on in Israel? I heard Netanyahu say, listen, yesterday, you're don't accuse me of being the one holding this up. The continued stories from the U.S. that we're just on the verge of a ceasefire, we're far away from a ceasefire because Hamas will not come to the table.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Every time, you know, somebody says, well, the answer is a ceasefire, a two-state solution, this is just nonsense. And of course, it's all a deflection from the big problem, which is we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Iran. And when you say, what are you going to do about Iran? It's crickets in the White House.
Yeah.
So it's a way bigger failure than the ceasefire and the two-state solution, which they're never going to deliver, which they pretend is like some kind of panacea. But you have not worked one day, one word from the people that want to run this country for the next 4 years about how they're going to deal with Iran.
Yeah, very true. Well, I tell you what, my friend, enjoy some great Greek food while you're there for the day, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Too late. I already did that. You know what bacalaro is?
Bacalaro? I don't think so.
I know what baklava is.
Okay, baklava.
What is it?
Bacalaro. It's Greek for cod.
cod.
It's an awesome dish here, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, I'll bet it's all awesome for
don't
sure.
They, don't they still have the eyeballs when you get food and when they give you fish, though, in Greece?
I don't know. But you go down to your local great restaurant in St. Louis and get yourself an order of bacalao.
All right. We'll look for it today. Thank you. Appreciate it. JJ Carafano live in Thessaloniki, Greece this morning. That's pretty cool. Greece is on my bucket list.
Oh, same.
Our mutual friend Nick just got back from a trip to Greece, and the pictures I've seen over there when he's been there a couple of times are just stunning, and I can't wait to visit there at some point.
You know, Jim can always tell us no. But he didn't.
He didn't.
He said, I'll do it.
I'll call you. I'm just hanging out in Greece for the day. What the heck?
That's like Griff. Griff will always make time.
I know. I love that about them for sure. All right. Coming up, those jobs numbers are due out sometime after 7:30. We'll bring that to you when it happens because it will impact the Fed's decision on interest rates. And that could be big for the market today in general. We'll get to Kim on a whim at about 7:48 today. And next hour, how do you try to help yourself live longer?
If you tax unrealized gains, you're going to kill the stock market, right? And it's going to be the ultimate employment plan for private equity.
Yeah, how about that? I just have to tell you that that is a guy named Mark Cuban. Have you heard the name? Mark Cuban? I know you have. Mark Cuban is, of course, a billionaire. He owns basketball teams in Miami, and he's got more money than you can imagine.
Dallas.
He is also for Dallas?
Dallas, yeah.
I thought it was...
He owns the Mavericks.
Okay.
The Mavs, and he's on Shark Tank.
Yeah, and this is a guy who, despite all of his success, he is a limousine liberal. He's got so much money that if they tax him more, he doesn't care. I don't know about you. I've never been in that situation. I've worked my entire life since I was 14 years old, and I don't want my taxes to go up. But he does not care. He supports full-throatedly Kamala Harris for president of the United States. He hates Donald Trump, and he doesn't care if your taxes go up. And they had him on CNBC yesterday asking him about taxing capital gains on unrealized gains. Like let's say you invested in Procter & Gamble 20 years ago and you bought it at $10 a share. I don't even know what it cost 20 years ago. And now it's worth $60 a share, right? You've got a $50 unrealized gain because you've never sold it. Now, if you do sell it and it's not in an IRA or some kind of a protected tax-free account, then you would owe taxes at 15% on whatever gain you've earned on that, right? But you don't pay that until you sell it. But these evil socialists who want to take over the federal government, who are always hungry and greedy for more tax money, have hatched a plan to go out and find a bunch of rich people because, you know, it's poor people that run the world. They want the rich people to pay their fair share. So they've been hoarding all of these stocks that they buy and then they hold them and they've made money on them. But they haven't made any money on them because it's unrealized. They haven't sold it, but they're going to get their pound of flesh anyway. They're going to charge you for your unrealized gains on these investments. It's insane.
Well, I get why they're doing this, though. It is absolutely necessary when you think about it, because they have to pay for all the student debt that they're forgiving, right? Our tax dollars have to cover the cost of everybody's loans that have already been forgiven. That money has to come from somewhere.
Well, but it doesn't, because we don't have a revenue problem in this country. We have a spending problem. So Democrats are never going to admit that, but we have a spending problem in this country. So they ask Mark Cuban, they kind of caught him unawares. They're like, you're a businessman. What's going to happen if they tax unrealized gains in this country? Go to cut 10, Carl, please.
If you tax unrealized gains, you're going to kill the stock market, right? And it's going to be the ultimate employment plan for private equity, because companies are not going to go public. Because you can get whipsawed, right? I mean, my own personal experience back from the internet days, right? All of a sudden, I was cash poor, but equity rich, right? My net worth was enormous, but the number of dollars in the bank wasn't enormous. And so I'd have, based off of the unrealized gains, I would have had to borrow money And I effectively would have been in hock just to pay my tax bill instead of trying to run my company and a thousand other reasons, right? So they realize that's the issue.
And yet he still supports Kamala Harris. You'd think with a statement like that, he would want to support somebody like Donald Trump, who's going to handle the economy far better than Kamala Harris.
But you don't understand, Kim, because they're only going after the billionaires who can afford it. This is not going to affect the average schmuck out there. So CNBC kind of called him out on it. There's an anchor on there named Rebecca Quick, who clearly might get fired today for doing this. But she called Cuban out on this, and she said, how do you know they're not just telling you what you want to hear at this point? Go to cut 11.
Mark, let me just say, I appreciate you calling in, telling us what you're hearing on these fronts. That's great. But as you've said yourself, you can't speak for the vice president. These are things they're telling you. Who knows what they're telling other people? My guess is they're telling anybody who's donating to them exactly what they want to hear at this point. What matters is what they say publicly and what they will stick to.
No. Absolutely, positively not. Right. Let me just be very clear.
Like, why do you think that they're telling you the truth and not telling other people other things?
Well, I don't.
If they won't say it publicly, say it publicly. Tell all of us so that we can hold you to it.
I get it, but you've got to get the details right. You can't just.
Yeah, but we have 60 days to an election. Like, you're asking people to take a flyer.
Even if it's the day before the election, right? Even if it's the day before.
No. I can't even say no as fast as he just did. No, that's not what she said. No. Well, what is her plan? Because guess what? She hasn't released it. I was trying to watch a video on KMOV yesterday, and Kamala Harris's face pops up. We need you to donate. There's only X amount of days until the election. What is your plan? What do you stand for? Why am I donating? What am I donating for? What causes do you support? Aside from murdering children, we know you support abortion. That is one.
Open borders.
Well, she claims she doesn't, Mark Cox. She claims that, no, I'm going to make sure I close the border. No. It's that evil Donald Trump. He's the one who knocked that down. Congress tried to pass that.
No police
Bad
officers
Republicans.
In schools. They're militarizing schools.
Now, we don't know how she feels about that. She's flip-flopped on a lot of issues, Mark. We don't know if she feels
EVs.
The same, remember?
We want to get rid of internal combustion engines. These are all things she said when she ran for president last time.
Yeah, because she actually had a plan that she announced.
No way she's changed her tune on all that. So I want to know, and I'll bet you'll hear it soon. We may not hear it here. So interestingly, I tuned in to watch the Chiefs game last night, and I've got this new app, and I actually picked up a TV channel from Philadelphia, and because I saw their local news update, and I started seeing these ads run for candidates whose names I didn't recognize, and then I realized it was the guy that's running for Senate in Pennsylvania. There were ads running for and against him, and then a Trump Vance ad came on criticizing Kamala Harris. So I was happy to see that. Right, they're running the hell out of ads in these swing states. Just so you know, you're not going to see them in Missouri, and you're not going to see them in Illinois. So they're not going to run in this market. Because they're going to win Missouri and they're going to lose Illinois, and they're not too worried about that. They're not going to waste their money here. I hope that Mark Cuban bite, where he says it's going to destroy the stock market, it would kill the stock market, her tax plan, that needs to run in an ad today. Like, the Trump people need to take that bite and run it over and over and over again, because her own supporters, who are rich limousine liberals, know her plan would kill the stock market, and they don't care. They don't care. This is the odd truth of the whole thing. They hate Donald Trump so much, and Mark Cuban is a great example of it, that he doesn't care what happens to the future of the country. He just wants to defeat Donald Trump. And that's the sad truth for so many of these sicko liberals out there. And while I'm on a roll, let me point this out. By the way, the jobs numbers came out. 142,000 jobs last month. Economists expected 160. It came out at 140, still stronger than the month before. So a mixed report. I imagine this doesn't change the Fed's decision to drop interest rates a little bit, if I had to speculate, but we'll hear more on that throughout the day today. So it wasn't a blockbuster. My question would be, how can you trust them? They've lied about close to a million jobs over the last year.
Only 817,000. It's not that many, right?
Just missed it by a
little. It's so close.
So off the subject for a minute. And back to the people who were dope.
If you tax unrealized gains, you're going to kill the stock market, right? And it's going to be the ultimate employment plan for private equity.
Yeah, how about that? I just have to tell you that that is a guy named Mark Cuban. Have you heard the name? Mark Cuban? I know you have. Mark Cuban is, of course, a billionaire. He owns basketball teams in Miami, and he's got more money than you can imagine.
Dallas.
He is also for Dallas?
Dallas, yeah.
I thought it was...
He owns the Mavericks.
Okay.
The Mavs, and he's on Shark Tank.
Yeah, and this is a guy who, despite all of his success, he is a limousine liberal. He's got so much money that if they tax him more, he doesn't care. I don't know about you. I've never been in that situation. I've worked my entire life since I was 14 years old, and I don't want my taxes to go up. But he does not care. He supports full-throatedly Kamala Harris for president of the United States. He hates Donald Trump, and he doesn't care if your taxes go up. And they had him on CNBC yesterday asking him about taxing capital gains on unrealized gains. Like you let's say you invested in Procter & Gamble 20 years ago and you bought it at $10 a share. I don't even know what it cost 20 years ago. And now it's worth $60 a share, right? You've got a $50 unrealized gain because you've never sold it. Now, if you do sell it and it's not in an IRA or some kind of a protected tax-free account, then you would owe taxes at 15% on whatever gain you've earned on that, right? But you don't pay that until you sell it. But these evil socialists who want to take over the federal government, who are always hungry and greedy for more tax money, have hatched a plan to go out and find a bunch of rich people, because, you know, it's poor people that run the world. They want the rich people to pay their fair share. So they've been hoarding all of these stocks that they buy and then they hold them and they've made money on them. But they haven't made any money on them because it's unrealized. They haven't sold it. But they're going to get their pound of flesh anyway. They're going to charge you for your unrealized gains on these investments. It's insane.
Well, I get why they're doing this, though. It is absolutely necessary when you think about it, because they have to pay for all the student debt that they're forgiving, right? Our tax dollars have to cover the cost of everybody's loans that have already been forgiven. That money has to come from somewhere.
Well, but it doesn't, because we don't have a revenue problem in this country. We have a spending problem. So Democrats are never going to admit that. But we have a spending problem in this country. So they ask Mark Cuban, they kind of caught him unawares. They're like, you're a businessman. What's going to happen if they tax unrealized gains in this country? Go to cut 10, Carl, please.
If you tax unrealized gains, you're going to kill the stock market, right? And it's going to be the ultimate employment plan for private equity, because companies are not going to go public because you can get whipsawed, right? I mean, my own personal experience back from the internet days, right? All of a sudden, I was cash poor, but equity rich, right? My net worth was enormous, but the number of dollars in the bank wasn't enormous. And so I'd have, based off of the unrealized gains, I would have had to borrow money, and I effectively would have been in hock just to pay my tax bill instead of trying to run my company and a thousand other reasons, right? So they realize that's the issue.
And yet he still supports Kamala Harris. You'd think with a statement like that, he would want to support somebody like Donald Trump, who's going to handle the economy far better than Kamala Harris.
But you don't understand, Kim, because they're only going after the billionaires who can afford it. This is not going to affect the average schmuck out there. So CNBC kind of called him out on it. There's an anchor on there named Rebecca Quick, who clearly might get fired today for doing this. But she called Cuban out on this, and she said, how do you know they're not just telling you what you want to hear at this point? Go to cut 11.
Mark, let me just say, I appreciate you calling in, telling us what you're hearing on these fronts. That's great. But as you've said yourself, you can't speak for the vice president. These are things they're telling you. Who knows what they're telling other people? My guess is they're telling anybody who's donating to them exactly what they want to hear at this point. What matters is what they say publicly and what they will stick to.
No. Absolutely, positively not. Right. Let me just be very clear.
I don't know. Like, why do you think that they're telling you the truth and not telling other people other things?
Well, I don't,
if they look, won't say it publicly, you, say it publicly. Tell all of us so that we can hold you to it.
I get it, but you've got to get the details right. You can't just.
Yeah, but we have 60 days to an election. Like, you're asking people to take a flyer.
Even if it's the day before the election, right? Even if it's the day before.
No, 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 no. I can't even say no as fast as he just did. No, 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 that's not what she said. No, no. Well, what is her plan? Because guess what? She hasn't released it. I was trying to watch a video on KMOV yesterday, and Kamala Harris's face pops up. We need you to donate. There's only X amount of days until the election. What is your plan? What do you stand for? Why am I donating? What am I donating for? What causes do you support? Aside from murdering children, we know you support abortion. That is one.
Open borders.
No, well, she claims she doesn't, Mark Cox. She claims that, no, I'm going to make sure I close the border. No. It's that evil Donald Trump. He's the one who knocked that down. Congress tried to pass that.
No police
Bad
officers
Republicans.
In schools. They're militarizing schools.
Now, we don't know how she feels about that. She's flip-flopped on a lot of issues, Mark. We don't know if she feels
EVs.
The same, remember?
We want to get rid of internal combustion engines. These are all things she said when she ran for president last time.
Yeah, because she actually had a plan that she announced.
No way she's changed her tune on all that. So, I want to know, and I'll bet you'll hear it soon. We may not hear it here. So, interestingly, I tuned in to watch the Chiefs game last night, and I've got this new app, and I actually picked up a TV channel from Philadelphia, because I saw their local news update, and I started seeing these ads run for candidates whose names I didn't recognize, and then I realized it was the guy that's running for Senate in Pennsylvania. There were ads running for and against him, and then a Trump Vance ad came on criticizing Kamala Harris. So I was happy to see that, right? They're running the hell out of ads in these swing states, just so you know. You're not going to see them in Missouri, and you're not going to see them in Illinois. So they're not going to run in this market because they're going to win Missouri and they're going to lose Illinois, and they're not too worried about that. They're not going to waste their money here. I hope that Mark Cuban bite, where he says it's going to destroy the stock market, it would kill the stock market, her tax plan, that needs to run in an ad today. Like, the Trump people need to take that bite and run it over and over and over again, because her own supporters, who are rich limousine liberals, know her plan would kill the stock market, and they don't care. They don't care. This is the odd truth of the whole thing. They hate Donald Trump so much, and Mark Cuban is a great example of it, that he doesn't care what happens to the future of the country. He just wants to defeat Donald Trump. And that's the sad truth for so many of these sicko liberals out there. And while I'm on a roll, let me point this out. By the way, the jobs numbers came out. 142,000 jobs last month. Economists expected 160. It came out at 140, still stronger than the month before. So a mixed report. I imagine this doesn't change the Fed's decision to drop interest rates a little bit, if I had to speculate, but we'll hear more on that throughout the day today. So it wasn't a blockbuster. My question would be, how can you trust them? They've lied about close to a million jobs over the last year.
Only 817,000. It's not that many,
they
right?
Just missed it by
a
little.
It's so close.
So off the subject for a minute, and back to the people who are donating money for this Missourians for Constitutional Freedom. This is the PAC that's been put together by Planned Parenthood and these other groups to collect money from people in Missouri and largely out of Missouri to fund passage of Amendment 3, right? And I told you earlier there are $250,000 donations coming in from individuals like in Virginia and California and other places like this are flooding money into this thing. And then I found this interesting one from Missouri. And I told you it came from an address down on Westmoreland Place from a foundation called the Clever Little Girl Foundation. The Clever Little Girl Foundation, I Googled it. It's interesting. Clever Little Girl Foundation is run by somebody named Susan McCollum, who used to run Major Brands here. She married into the family and was the CEO of Major Brands. And she started this foundation for gender and racial equity. And now she's donated $100,000 to make sure children continue to get murdered in Missouri. It's important that you know this. This is all public record. It's in the Missouri Ethics Commission. You can go look it up yourself. Just go in there and search for Missourians for Constitutional Freedom, and you can see who the people are behind this evil effort to enshrine abortion into the Missouri Constitution. And one of them is the Clever Little Girl Foundation, with Sue McCollum is bankrolling it. I'm sure she's very proud. But all your neighbors who are contributing are on there as well. It's public record. If you donate, you have to put your name, and then, you know, unless you've started a foundation, which point you don't have to put your name out, but we know who it is anyway.
I need a sign in front of my yard that says no on Amendment 3. I saw one of my neighbors had
that
sign.
Glad you brought that up. Next week, we're going to get Steve Rupp on here from Missouri Right to Life, and we're going to tell you how you, too, can get a yard sign that says no on 3. My bumper stickers are due to arrive this weekend, and I can't wait to slap one in the back of my car. We're gonna talk about that next week with Steve Rupp from Missouri Right to Life. We're going to be back in just a minute with Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I think we can all agree at this point that Titanic is an iconic movie, and we can all agree that there was enough room on that door for Jack.
Thank you.
To be with Rose. They both could have survived. It didn't have to end the way that it did.
She wanted to keep that big diamond all to herself that she had in her coat pocket.
She didn't have to let go.
In the ocean.
Well, when no, she was 90 or 100, right. she threw it in the ocean.
I love that, the little sound effect. When she tosses it over the railing.
What a mistake.
Oops. Speaking of the railing, the actual railing of the Titanic that is sitting at the bottom of the ocean, about 400 miles off the coast of Canada, where it was discovered back in 1985. Well, part of that railing that you see in that iconic scene with Jack and Rose when she's like, Jack, I'm flying. I'm flying. A 15-foot stretch of that railing fell off on the actual Titanic. Aww. And now there's a debate over whether you should be able to take that up or really anything from the ship up. So Bob Ballard discovered the ship back in 1985. He said he, out of respect for everything, he didn't want to remove anything. He wanted to just leave it all there. Kind of like a little graveyard. I don't know, like a tribute to it. A couple years later, a group goes down there and takes things up. Like 1,800 artifacts were taken up. And through the court system, they were granted exclusive rights. So anything that comes up, they're the ones that are the only ones who were able to remove it. And then, of course, it's just distributed to museums and things like that so you and I can enjoy looking at it.
So how does he feel about it these days? He's 82 years old. He's still alive. Does he still not like people taking mementos up or not?
No, that's a good question. I wholeheartedly support that. I mean, I know we're talking about that the Titanic now, but this would apply to anything. I mean, anything that happens that's historic, I would celebrate taking that so that we can study it and you and I, like I said, can go to museums and learn from it. I find that stuff so interesting. I went to Branson for actually my baby moon a couple years ago, and I loved the Titanic Museum, getting to see all those artifacts.
What's a baby moon?
What? Really?
I've never heard of that before.
What?
Have you heard of that, Carl?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry, but go ahead.
No, I have to tell you now. Before you have your baby, it's like a honeymoon, but you go on a little trip because it's the last time that...
It'll just be the two of you?
But even though there's really already three of you? But even though you have one kid, people will still sometimes go on like a baby moon. Like, oh, we're about to have our second. We should go on a baby moon.
Oh.
But yeah, it wasn't... Some people go on these like... Right, but some people go on these like glamorous, all-inclusive trips. I mean, we went to Branson.
Except one of the two of them is miserable and can barely move.
Also probably that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like a beached whale sitting on the beach.
And the other one wanted to go to Branson.
That was not my phrase.
No, Branson's great.
It's close.
Don't hate on Branson, Carl Middleman. He's rolling his eyes right now if you're not watching on Facebook or Twitter.
But we distracted you.
Anyway.
What did you do in Branson?
Titanic.
We went to the Titanic Museum, and my gosh, it was awesome. All right, Carl?
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway.
I've been there.
Why can't we bring stuff up? Why people call it grave robbing. Why is that grave robbing? What good does it do just to sit at the bottom of the ocean?
Yep, it's not doing
any good
to the people that died there. I mean, they didn't take it with them. There's living proof of it. It's all on this floor of the ocean.
Like I understand that 9/11, that whole situation is very different. That's in the middle of New York City. But like, think about what we've been able to take from that horrific, horrific situation. And I don't know. Like, I just think that stuff's important for us to be able to see. And like I mentioned, study. I don't know why people are so up in arms about removing some of this stuff. You're not destroying it in a fire. You're preserving it.
Right. I mean, if they can bring up the railing that Jack and Kate held on to at the front of the boat, I think they should do that.
Well, because they did bring the actual Titanic up for that movie, shot the movie, and then they sunk it again, right?
Well, it was amazing, though. You could see the before and after pictures. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, with the old lady?
Yeah, where the when the camera moves down the railing and it goes from all the silt and everything,
now
and then it lights back up.
In my memory.
I know.
I could quote that whole movie. Jack!
It's 3 hours.
Jack! Yeah, that's a three-hour movie I will watch, unlike, I don't know, The Lord of the Rings or, dare I say, Star Wars.
Oh, those are not three.
Okay, are they like 2 hours and 48 minutes? What are they, Carl?
They're about 210.
210 each.
They feel like five.
There's a good 30 or 40 hours of entertainment there for you.
And there are six Lord of the Rings movies. And
oh my gosh, I can't wait to not watch them.
Yeah, go to Inner Earth and have fun. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Dr. Patrick Porter on how to increase your odds of living to a ripe old age. I'm going to my aunt's 100th birthday this weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com. Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I think we can all agree at this point that Titanic is an iconic movie, and we can all agree that there was enough room on that door for Jack to be with Rose. They both could have survived. It didn't have to end the way that it did.
She wanted to keep that big diamond all to herself that she had in her coat pocket.
She didn't have to let go.
In the ocean.
Well, when she was 90 or 100, right. she threw it in the ocean.
I love that, the little sound effect. When she tosses it over the railing.
What a mistake.
Oops. Speaking of the railing, the actual railing of the Titanic that is sitting at the bottom of the ocean, about 400 miles off the coast of Canada, where it was discovered back in 1985. Well, part of that railing that you see in that iconic scene with Jack and Rose when she's like, Jack, I'm flying. I'm flying. A 15-foot stretch of that railing fell off, the actual Titanic.
Aww.
And now there's a debate over whether you should be able to take that up or really anything from the ship up. So Bob Ballard discovered the ship back in 1985. He said he, out of respect for everything, he didn't want to remove anything. He wanted to just leave it all there. Kind of like a little graveyard. I don't know, like a tribute to it. A couple years later, a group goes down there and takes things up. Like 1,800 artifacts were taken up. And through the court system, they were granted exclusive rights. So anything that comes up, they're the ones that are the only ones who were able to remove it. And then, of course, it's just distributed to museums and things like that so you and I can enjoy looking at it.
So how does he feel about it these days? He's 82 years old. He's still alive. Does he not like people taking mementos up or not?
No, that's a good question. I wholeheartedly support that. I mean, I know we're talking about that the Titanic now, but this would apply to anything. I mean, anything that happens that's historic, I would celebrate taking that so that we can study it and you and I, like I said, can go to museums and learn from it. I find that stuff so interesting. I went to Branson for actually my baby moon a couple years ago, and I loved the Titanic Museum, getting to see all those artifacts.
What's a baby moon?
What? Really?
I've never heard of that before.
What?
Have you heard of that, Carl?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry, but go ahead.
No, I have to tell you now. Before you have your baby, it's like a honeymoon, but you go on a little trip because it's the last time that...
It'll just be the two of you?
But but even though you have one kid, people will still sometimes go on like a baby moon. Like, oh, we're about to have our second. We should go on a baby moon.
Oh.
But yeah, it wasn't... Some people
it's
go
like
on
a
these
honeymoon.
Like... Right, oh, but okay. Some people go on right, these like glamorous, all-inclusive trips. I mean, we went to Branson.
Except one of the two of them is miserable and can barely move.
Also probably that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like a beached whale sitting on the beach.
And the other one wanted to go to Branson.
That was not my phrase.
No, Branson's great.
It's close.
Don't hate on Branson, Carl Middleman. He's rolling his eyes right now if you're not watching on Facebook or Twitter.
But we distracted you.
Anyway.
What did you do, Branson?
Titanic.
We went to the Titanic Museum, and my gosh, it was awesome. All right, Carl?
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway.
I've been there.
Why can't we bring stuff up? Why? People call it grave robbing. Why is that grave robbing? What good does it do just to sit at the bottom of the ocean?
Yep, it's not doing
any good
to the people that died there. I mean, they didn't take it with them. There's living proof of it. It's all on this floor of the ocean.
Like I understand that 9/11, that whole situation is very different. That's in the middle of New York City. But like, think about what we've been able to take from that horrific, horrific situation. And I don't know. Like, I just think that that stuff's important for us to be able to see. And like I mentioned, study. I don't know why people are so up in arms about removing some of this stuff. Hmm. You're not destroying it in a fire. You're preserving it.
Right. I mean, if they can bring up the railing that Jack and Kate held on to at the front of the boat, I think they should do that.
Well, because they did bring the actual Titanic up for that movie, shot the movie, and then they sunk it again, right?
Well, it was amazing, though. You could see the before and after pictures. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, with the old lady?
Yeah, where the when the camera moves down the railing and it goes from all the silt and everything, and then it lights back up.
In my memory.
I know.
I could quote that whole movie. Jack!
It's 3 hours.
Jack! Yeah, that's a 3-hour movie I will watch, unlike, I don't know, The Lord of the Rings or, dare I say, Star Wars.
Oh, those are not three.
Okay. Are they like 2 hours and 48 minutes? What are they, Carl?
They're about 210.
210 each.
They feel like five.
There's a good 30 or 40 hours of entertainment there for you.
And there are 6 Lord of the Rings movies. And
oh my gosh, I can't wait to not watch them.
Yeah. Go to Inner Earth and have fun. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Dr. Patrick Porter on how to increase your odds of living to a ripe old age. I'm going to my aunt's 100th birthday this weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.